Well, hello. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Again, I welcome you, brothers and sisters, back to our study of the Gospel. The Gospel, the second letter of the letter G in our ABCs of series, the ABCs of Christian Growth series. There we go. So I finally got that off to a bad start, so I guess we can go on now. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and I thank you for your discipline and for your allegiance to your Lord in coming and studying the Word of God. And today we're going to recap just a little bit of our last study. This is going to be the fifth actual class in our study of the Gospel. We found out many things and many truths concerning the Gospel so far. We know what the Gospel is and what it's defined as. We know what the Word means. And we know what people think. We know what some of our forefathers, like Martin Luther and some of the others, and what they described the Gospel as. And then we went into to the 10 Gospels that are in the Scriptures, and we talked about them. And last class, we talked about Bible descriptions of the Gospel. Bible descriptions of the Gospel. Now, we got into, we actually turned this study into the main theme of the Gospel of the Scriptures, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about the eternal Word. We talked about the living Word. We talked about the spoken Word, and we talked about the written Word, and all of them as being synonymous. The Bible, the Gospel, and the Scriptures, all being synonymous when you speak of them in the Scriptures. Remember that? And last class, we talked about Bible descriptions of the Gospel. What about it? Well, the Bible describes the Gospel as the Gospel of God. The Gospel of God. Remember that? It is described as the Gospel of Christ. It is described as the Gospel of the Kingdom. We had a lot of scripture going along with this. And in our study, that's all in, well, you, if you've been any time in the ABCs of Christian Growth, you'll know that the ABCs of Christian Growth studies are all about the Word of God and Scripture. There's no such thing as any studying in this series, in any series for that matter, having to do with these lessons on Barnhouse Ministries. Any of the studies have to do with God's Word, and have God's Word, are smothered with God's Word. And that's what makes it count. That's what makes it worth anything. Thy Word is truth. God's Word is truth. If you don't have God's Word, you don't have anything. You got no authority. You got nothing to back up anything that you think or believe or anything. So we believe God's Word, and we don't mind hearing it recited, and we don't mind somebody trying to teach us it and teach us what it means and the doctrines and the truths. And we are commanded to study to show ourselves approved. Unto whom? Unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's described as the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. It is described as the gospel of the grace of God. It is described as the gospel of peace. It is described as the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the glory of Christ and the gospel of the preaching of Jesus Christ. These are all scriptural descriptions of the gospel that we went over in our last class. The last one being the gospel of good tidings and great joy for all people. And we know that to be true because we have our Savior now. We have the promised one. He is not coming. He has already been here. And he has done what he said. He has carried out the Father's plan. And he done it successfully and beautifully and sacrificed himself on Calvary, died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and ascended back to the Father, and is there now, being an advocate for us, before the Father, until the day that he comes to get us. You know, he comes to get us, till the fulfilling of the Gentiles and fulfilling of the bride of Christ. Everybody has a chance to get saved by the grace of God. And only God knows when that time is going to come, but I hope it's soon, and we all look forward to it. The Bible says we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. And that's what we're waiting on, is our Savior. But in the meantime, we're going to study. And we're going to study God's Word and obey our Lord. And thank you for being here today. Today we're going to start our fifth class, and it's going to be entitled, or going to, we're going to study, it's entitled, What the Gospel is Defined as in Scripture. Now, we did go over definitions, but that was just of the word, to find out what the definition of the word gospel was. We did do that, but this is going to be sort of different. This is going to be defining what the Scripture says about the gospel, the main theme, the Lord Jesus Christ, mercy to mankind, and being the Messiah and a sacrifice and the propitiation, the adoption, the regeneration, and all the package all together, the gospel of the Scriptures. What the gospel is defined as in Scripture. Well, the first thing is it is defined as of supernatural origin. This gospel in the Scriptures is not like the so-called gospels in all these other books. Like, for instance, I don't want to mispronounce it, but the books of Buddhism and Hinduism and all that, Bhagavad-Gita all them sort of the sutras and all that sort of stuff. I've studied through that stuff, and it doesn't interest me a bit. I mean, there's some wisdom books in religion and then that silly Quran. And all these other books and this, that, and the other, there's nothing supernatural about them. They have no supernatural backing. They have no supernatural authority. There's natural and there's supernatural. There's terrestrial and there's celestial. There's our gospel is defined in the Scriptures as of a supernatural origin. There is all these people put out these movies. Man is funny, ain't he? He doesn't believe in God and don't want God being the authority over him, but he makes million-dollar movies so he can entertain himself about there being a supernatural God that is good, that always wins the battle. Isn't that interesting? And he always has his words somewhere in that movie for somebody to see and somebody. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that something? Man is not interested in the real supernatural Lord and God and creator of all things, the one and true God who left us his word supernaturally, and we've been over that, and gave us a supernatural gospel. Man couldn't die for your sins. Man couldn't be born of a virgin. Man can't rise from the dead. Man can't die and be in a grave for 3 days and descend into the lower parts of the earth and then come back up in 3 days and rise under his own power. Man can't do that. That's supernatural stuff, man. And we got a God that is supernatural, that has given us a gospel that is supernatural. Galatians chapter 1, let me read this to you. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 through 12 says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel, talking about the gospel is defined in Scripture, how it's defined in Scripture, the Scripture defines the gospel of the gospel as of a supernatural origin. A supernatural origin. Paul said, he said, I didn't get this from man. This is not from man. This is by revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave me this information. Jesus gave me this to speak and for it to be written so that you could have it. And we have it. It's defined as of a supernatural origin. Aren't you glad of that? What else? Well, it's defined as God's power. Now, we know that. That goes right along with supernatural origin. Man could not do the things that this gospel is made up of. Over 40 plus or minus prophecies in the Old Testament prophesied about one man that was going to be born of a virgin, where he was going to be born, how he was going to die, and all the information having to do with his death in the book of Isaiah and throughout the Old Testament. And it come to pass in the New Testament to the T. That's God's power, man. That takes supernatural power to do that. And only God has supernatural power. Oh, you got all these nuts on the computer and all these people that are all these so-called healers and all this business, and some of that stuff is just hilarious to look at and to watch. Why, they got over in Africa and places like that where these clowns go over there and say that they do supernatural stuff and heal people up on stage, like Benny Hinn and all them. He don't go over there, I don't think, but he's one of the big ones. And all the rest of them, I'm thinking of one fella, a white guy that goes over there and preaches all the time. And man, he gets those people stirred up. And I'm talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And the last one, I almost laughed out loud. Well, I did laugh out loud about it, because he had a casket setting up there with a dead guy laying in it, supposedly dead. I mean, he had all his color to him, and he was laying he was laying there, and this guy goes up there and waves his hands and does some kind of voodoo dance over him or something like that, and this guy wakes up and sits up in the, I mean, it just is hilarious, just a big fake act. And these people go nuts over that. Nothing supernatural, no God's power in that, not whatsoever. If there is a God's power, and the devil does have powers to do things, and he does use men to do supernatural things, but when you're talking about the gospel is defined as God's power, you're talking about what God are you talking about? The gospel of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the good news and the joyful news is not from the enemy. He's got absolutely nothing to do with that gospel. That's the God of heaven, the creator of all things, Jehovah God, and his Son Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It is defined as God's power. Listen to this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You hear people talking about like the Quran and Muhammad and 600 wing angel that gave him this and gave him that and all this stuff, and only thing he had to promise was, or he didn't even promise it. He didn't die for nobody. He didn't do anything for his followers. He didn't leave them with no hope. He just told them they're going to get to go, if they done this or done that, they get to go to heaven and fornicate with 70 virgins. What kind of hope is that? What kind of power is that? And most of the Catholics teach that you might go to heaven. No Catholic knows that they're going to go to heaven. No Catholic has any promise that they're going to go to heaven for sure, for sure, for sure. And all your other people. I mean, nobody's got no power behind their gospel. Their good news, supposedly good news. That ain't no good news. not having any hope. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You one miserable soul. If only thing Christ can do for you is here, because this is one miserable planet, folks. And everything, all this sin-infested big ball of stinking dirt and everybody running crazy in this dark world, and you call this salvation? You can have it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He said that right, but that's not the way our gospel is. Our gospel is defined as the power of God. And that's what that man said. For I am not ashamed. Well, I say that man. Let me say the Apostle Paul out of respect. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Our gospel has the power of God behind it. You can trust it and you can believe it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And it is, isn't it? It's our hope. The gospel of our Bible, the gospel of our scriptures, the gospel of our Lord, the gospel of our God is backed up by God's power. And it has God's power. I'll tell you how you can see the power of God. Take your Bible and go down there and stand in the middle of the biggest crowd that you can find and just stand there for a minute and then all of a sudden raise your Bible and start saying, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and I have the Word of the living God. Just say that and watch the power work around you just from those words and God's word. Or just, matter of fact, just open that Bible and read to the top of your lungs, read the scriptures and watch what happens around you. Watch the power. Watch. I ain't kidding you. I've seen it. Out soul winning. I preach in Tallahassee at the Capitol building. I've been out in front of there. Man, you hold that Bible up and you ain't got to say a word. You hold that Bible up and people will cuss you going by. They'll try to run over you. People will bless you. They'll stop right in the middle of the road and get out of the car and come up there and thank you and shake your hand. I mean, that's some power behind that book. But we're talking about the gospel of that book. And our God has God's power on it. The scripture says it does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. It is defined, the gospel is defined as supernatural origin. It's defined as God's power. What else? Well, the gospel of our Bible, our gospel, the gospel that was given to us and the gospel that saved us, is defined as a mystery. Paul said that on several of our scriptures that we read on our last classes. Do you remember that? Talking about the mystery that has now been revealed, that it was a mystery from the beginning of the world, from before the world, and that the Lord decided to reveal it when he wanted to reveal it, and talking about the gospel. The gospel. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Listen to this. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of a gospel. What's a mystery? Well, a mystery is something that has been hidden, but has now been revealed. It was hidden, but it's now been revealed. And nobody can really put it into words properly. Only God knows how it works. Even Peter said about Paul's preaching, when Paul was bringing in the gospel of the grace of God, and Peter and all the apostles didn't fully know salvation by grace. It was during the transition in the book of Acts. Even all the apostles didn't know the full mystery of what Jesus was teaching Paul. And when Paul brought it in, Peter even said that in one of his books. He said, hard to be understood. That Paul's wisdom and what Jesus gave to him was hard to be understood. It's a mystery. But he agreed with it, and he preached it, and he made the changes that needed to be made in his mind and in his heart, and preached the truth after Acts 15. What else? Well, it's defined as a mystery. What else? Well, it's defined as a revelation. A revelation. A revelation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Listen to this. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. That, see, mystery and revelation. The mystery of the gospel, revelation, I said that a minute ago about mystery, but a revelation is something that was hidden and is now revealed. It's revealed. Revelation, it's revealed. How that by revelation, it was hidden and it's now revealed. What's revealed? He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It was hidden, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel. It's defined as revelation. It was something that was hidden, and it is now revealed. And aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? What else? What are we talking about? We're talking about what the gospel is defined as in Scripture. It's defined as supernatural origin. It's defined as God's power. It's defined as a mystery. And it's defined as revelation. Another thing, it's defined as everlasting. The gospel. Think about that a minute. The gospel that we're saved by, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel that has God's power behind it, the gospel is everlasting. It doesn't run out. It started when you were born again. Well, it started way back, and it started way back before, but when it was revealed, Paul started preaching it. People started getting born again into the body of Christ, the bride. And that was 2,000 years ago. And ever since then, it's been the dispensation of grace, and you got in on it. Somebody told somebody about the gospel, got saved, 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 and told you. And you heard it and believed and were born again and adopted into the family of God. And now you are a son of God, you are a saint. And that is doctrinal. That is doctrine. It's defined as everlasting. Aren't you glad of that? Listen to what 1 Peter says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, get this, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Does it get any simpler than that? I mean, even a child can understand what he just said. And this is the word. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. What is this is the word? What we're talking about right this second. What you got in front of you, that book. The power of God. That's what he said. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then he said, the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Well, where is the word of the Lord? And this is the word which by the gospels preached unto you. Don't get no simpler than that. Listen, brothers and sisters, whatever you do, don't you ever let anybody talk you out of that Bible or talk down on it or talk about it or tell you there's mistakes in it or tell you that it needs to be changed and all that blabbity, gobbly, gobbly goop that all these people got that they're going to stand before Jesus Christ and give account for messing with his word. Don't you mess with it. You believe it. You believe it. Go believing. Believe that book. And if there's something you don't understand, trust the Lord and what that book says. Change your thinking according to that book. Don't make that book change according to your thinking. Amen? It's defined as everlasting. Aren't you glad that God's word is going to back up our salvation when you die? That God's word is going to be there to back up what God promised you before you die? Or if the rapture comes and Jesus comes and says, come up hither, that you're going to be on your way up at that time because of the word of God that promised you that and you put your faith in that. And because you did, Jesus is going to back up what he told you because you believed his word and he's going to catch you away and you're going up to meet him in the air. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? And aren't you glad that if it takes another 200 or 2,000 years, whatever the Lord decides, it ain't going to take that long, don't believe. It's already been 2,000 plus. And if you look at the times and Daniel and all that sort of business and stuff like that, and we won't get into that now, but when you look at all that, our salvation, just like the Bible says, is closer than ever. It's closer than ever. And talking about our salvation, that we're already saved. I'm talking about the actual third part of our salvation when we are taken out of the presence of sin. We're completely taken out of here. Won't that be wonderful? What else? Well, it's defined as everlasting. Revelation chapter 14. Listen to this. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. This is what we talked about before one time in our lesson so far. Having the everlasting gospel. Now, this is a different gospel than what we're saved by, but it is a gospel, and it's everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now, of course, this is during the millennium. This is during the millennium, this is the gospel that's going to be preached. And anybody that'll believe, any Gentile that will believe, or during the tribulation, this is the gospel that's going to be, no, wait a minute, don't let me get that mixed up. It's either tribulation, I can't remember, but the gospels change. The way that you get saved in the tribulation period is different, and the way that you get saved in the millennium is different. It's different than the way that we get saved right now. And don't let that surprise you. Don't let that trip you. God can do anything he wants to do, and he can save people any way he wants to. And for people to tell you that the gospel of the grace of God is the same all the way through the Bible, that's a bunch of nonsense. They hadn't studied their Bible, and they don't know what they're talking about. Old Testament salvation is not like New Testament salvation, this salvation that we have now. And it's not going to be the same in the tribulation period, and it's not going to be the same during the millennium. Period. That's what the Bible says. We got some studies on the Barnhouse Ministries about that. You should go look at them. I think it's under the All Support Studies. It has a study there about the different Gospels. Go read that. Go read it and look at the Scriptures and believe the book. That's what you're studying right now because you believe God's Word. Well, if God says there's different ways that he's saving people in different dispensations, and the Bible backs that up, why wouldn't you believe it? No excuse, right? We believe it because God says so. Somebody else wants to say something different, they're the ones going to stand before the Lord and explain themselves. But far as we go by what saith the Lord. Okay, but the everlasting gospel, there is a gospel that is entitled everlasting. And listen, this gospel right here, the gospel of the grace of God, is everlasting also. You know why? Because it has an everlasting God's power behind it, an everlasting God's word attached to it. And when Jesus said it is finished, it's finished forever. He died once for man's sins forever. And when you get saved, that's what you get saved for. Everlasting. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you shall never perish, nor shall any man pluck you out of my hand. Isn't that wonderful news? Man, I tell you what, I'll be so glad when the Lord takes us out of here, because every time I read them scriptures and recite them like that, and I hear myself say them, I'm glad about it. But immediately, the enemy comes in and says, and starts ridiculing it, starts talking. Does he do that with you? Sure he does. Tries to talk, say, tell you every reason in the world why that's not so, and why to doubt it, and give you every reason to doubt it. That's why you tell him, hit the road. Hit the road. The Lord rebuke thee. What else? Well, what are we talking about so far in our study? What the gospel is defined as in Scripture. Well, the first thing was, is that it's defined as supernatural origin. Did you hear what the Bible said about that? Yes, you did. All right, it's defined as God's power. Aren't you glad of that? It's defined as a mystery. You know, mystery to all these other so-called religions. There's no mystery to that. It's man-made stuff. It's man-made stuff. It's monetary stuff. It's worldly. It's fleshly stuff. There's no mystery about that. There's no prophecy in any of these other ones about a man saying about prophecy telling about future events that come to pass on the money. I mean, exactly like the scripture said it was going to happen. And it's defined as revelation, and it's defined as everlasting. Everlasting. All right, well, let's move on. So we see some definitions of the gospel in the Bible and how it defines them. All right, well, let's talk about this for a minute. Things of which the gospel is a source of. Things of which the gospel is a source of. Well, the first thing that we come across is that the gospel, our gospel, the Lord's gospel, the living God's gospel, the scripture gospel, the gospel is a source of hope. It's a source of hope. That's what we're just talking about. Where do you get any hope in wondering whether you're going to heaven or not? If you do this, or if you happen to die in grace, or if you happen to die and enough people pray you out of purgatory, or blabbity, blabbity, blab, and all this sort of business. Or whether you see what I'm saying? No hope. No hope. We have hope because our gospel is a source of hope. And everywhere you read in our Bible, in our Bible, in God's Bible, everywhere you read in there, it does nothing but try to encourage you to hope. Put your hope in his word. Because it's not hope like I hope this is going to happen. It's like I can be at peace now because this is my hope. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that's what I was just talking about. Don't let anybody take that Bible away from you and what it has taught you. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, now this ain't got nothing to do with being saved or not saved. It's got to do with being at peace. And listen to what he said. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The hope of the gospel. And be not moved away from it. It's not a hope like I hope God follows through. I hope this. We do hope God follows through. We got no proof. The only proof is going to be when he does what he says he's going to do. But he always has, hasn't he? Did he save you? Do you have proof in your faith that God is working in your life? Has there been a change in you? Do you remember when you got saved? Has there been a difference in your life ever since? Has there been a mystery in your life over that? Of course there has. Why? Because you've been given hope. You have hope. You have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, and you have a copy of God's holy word that lives, and the power of God behind it. You have hope. You're not hoping that you have hope. You have hope. And you have a Bible to back it up, you have God's Word, and you have the power of God, and you have an everlasting Father in heaven and a Savior that is risen, backing every bit of that up. God said it, and you can trust it, and it's going to come to pass. And that's where you rest. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. It didn't say hope that it's going to come to pass. It said, then do we with patience wait for it. Because we know it's going to come to pass. We wait for it. The gospel is a source of hope. Things of which the gospel is a source of. That's not all. The gospel is the source of salvation. There's a lot of different ideas about how to go to heaven and how to please God and how to get God to be propitious to you, to forgive your sins and to give you a home in heaven and to put away your sins and everything be all right. There's a million different ways and isms in this world that say the way that have ways that they say God is going to forgive you. But there's only one source of salvation. And the Lord said, and he told us many times, he said, many shall come in my name. He said, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you try to go to heaven or please God or get him to be propitious towards you, you're going to fail any other way than coming through Jesus. The gospel is the source of salvation. Aren't you glad it come your way? How many different ways have you heard to go to heaven before you were saved, before you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. How many different offers did you get to go to heaven or to believe in to go to heaven, and then when you were saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the way that the gospel of our Bible, when it was presented to you and you believed on it, was there something different that happened? Something real? Of course there was. Because there was power behind that salvation. That source of salvation had power behind it. The gospel is the source of salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, listen to this in verse 13 and 14. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Only one way, only one source, the Lord Jesus Christ. You were called by the gospel of what? The gospel of who? To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel we're talking about draws you to Jesus. The Word of God, the written Word of God, which spoke the Word of God, was the spoken Word of God, which was the living Word of God when he was here in the body, and was the eternal Word of God that incarnated and came down here and took on flesh. The gospel is the source of salvation. Things of which the gospel is a source of. The gospel is a source of hope. The gospel is a source of salvation. Another one. The gospel is the source of faith. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel is the source of faith. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 15, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Peter said, "Those Gentiles, when the Lord had me preach to them, and I preached the gospel, and they believed, God the Holy Ghost was given to them, just the same way he was given to us. And they believed, and the Lord put no difference between us and them, and he purified their hearts." How? By faith. They just simply heard the gospel like a little child, and heard it, and said, "I believe that. I'm going to believe that. I believe that. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ and want him to be my Savior. I believe in his sacrifice. And I believe he done what you said he done." Bam! And God honored their faith and saved them. And God the Holy Ghost went inside of them, like the Bible teaches he's inside of us, and indwelled them the same way he indwelled Peter and the Jews. The same way. The gospel is the source of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 17. Listen to this. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, what God saith, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You call upon the Lord to save you. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, what Peter just got through saying. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If you pray and you call upon the Lord to save you, then you believe. And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. Remember the definition? Glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel is the source of faith. Did you hear the gospel and the word of God, and you believed it? It was your source of faith. It was your source of faith. The gospel is the source of faith. That's where you got your faith. And it was a gift from God when he gave it to you. He gave you the faith to believe what he said and then saved you when you agreed with it. We have a wonderful God. Yes, we do. What else? Well, the gospel is a source of life, not a source, the source. The gospel is the source of life. Not only is the gospel the source of hope, the gospel is the source of salvation. The gospel is the source of faith. The gospel is the source of life. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. The gospel is the source of life. And that's what it's all about. That's what mankind is chasing after. How do I stay alive? Everybody's dying around me. How do I stay alive? Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Are you saved? Did you believe the gospel? Did you hear the gospel and believe it? Then God kept his word with you and he saved you according to the scriptures. And guess what else? Your name is in the book of life. The Bible says in Revelation, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's at the white throne judgment, where the unsaved are judged. And they open up the book of works, and the books of works, plural, and see how their filthy lives played out and all the things that was recorded about them. You have nothing bad recorded about you anymore because it's all been blotted out. It's been taken away. That's what Jesus' blood could do that the Old Testament could not do. God could forgive, but he couldn't take the sins away. Jesus' blood made it possible for it to be blotted out. I remember them no more. Isn't that wonderful? The gospel is the source of life. You want life? You got to come through the gospel. You got to come through the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10 says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that neat? The more we read of God's word, the more it just blends together, doesn't it? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All these so-called contradictions. I see no contradictions. Do you? I see it all blending together perfectly. The gospel is the source of life. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about things of which the gospel is a source of. The gospel is a source of life. All right, what else? Well, the gospel is a source of afflictions. The gospel is the source of afflictions. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Preaching the gospel and hearing the gospel and being around the gospel and affiliated with the gospel is going to cause afflictions. You're going to be persecuted for it. You're going to be persecuted because of how real and factual the gospel is, and because who you're affiliated with when you're affiliated with the gospel, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of heaven and the true God and the living God, true and living God. Listen to this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. I ain't saying I like it. I don't like persecution, and I don't like suffering. I don't like affliction. I don't like it. But it's there, and it's going to happen. And if you're going to have anything to do, there's a lot of Christians that hide their Christianity just for purposes of just that reason, so they won't get persecuted and they won't get afflicted. They won't suffer affliction. But listen to what this says. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to get it one way or another, whether it's a cussing out or torture or whatever it might be. Persecution is persecution, and affliction and suffering, depending on what part of the world you're in right now and different degrees of it, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's a lot of Christians and a lot of the bride that's not living godly, and they're not suffering persecution. All this prosperity gospel and yee-haw and yay-yay and all this sort of business, and Christianity is so wonderful, and we don't never preach bad things and negative things like going to hell and damnation and fornication and adultery and drunkenness, and we don't never talk about any of that stuff. You're not going to get persecuted. But if you're going to talk about the things and the truths and the facts and the truths in God's word, where preach the gospel, you're going to be persecuted. Just get ready, because it's coming. Just expect attack. The enemy's going to attack you. He's going to attack you. But the Lord's always there for us and faithful, and He protects us, and He takes care of us, and He's stronger than the devil, and has more power, and has all the authority over him. He can tell him to leave you alone, and He can tell him what he can do and what he can't do. And we trust that. I don't like being persecuted, and I don't like the enemy messing with me. I don't. But I know my God's stronger than him, and instead of trusting going back in the world, or instead of trusting a liquor bottle, or instead of trusting a handgun to blow your brains out, instead of trusting all that, you trust your Lord, and you trust his word. And you get on through it, and you keep going. And then one day, we get to see him face to face. see him as he is. And aren't you going to be glad that you stayed faithful and finished right? Yeah. Lastly, the gospel is a source of peace. It's not only a source of affliction, a source of life, or the source of life, excuse me, the source of faith, and the source of salvation, and the source of hell, the source of hope, but it is a source of peace. It is the source of peace. You know, this is a peace that passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The gospel is the source of peace. And a lot of times you got to wait on that peace. You got to wait on God's mind and God's will and God's decision about things. And I don't like waiting. I'm a mess. I don't like waiting. I need you now, Lord, and I need what I think I need right now. And you have to wait on the Lord. It is good that a man both hope and patiently wait on the Lord. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel is the source of peace. The source of peace. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14 is our last set of scriptures here for this study. And it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's not the way the Catholics put it, and that's not you need to check that when they recite that and see how they put it. But this is the way the Bible teaches it and the gospel teaches it. And saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The only way you're going to have any peace is by the peacemaker, is by the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our peace. And the gospel, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our peace. He is our peace. Amen? Amen. All right, so what have we talked about today? What have we talked about? Well, we talked about two different sorts of things. We talked about what the gospel is defined as in Scripture, and that was of supernatural origin, as God's power, as a mystery, as revelation, as everlasting. And then we talked about things of which the gospel is a source of, which is amazing. It's the source of hope. It's the source of salvation. It is the source of faith. It is the source of life. It is the source of afflictions. And it is the source of peace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop right there. Amen. Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, well, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to give you the scriptures. And when we come into our next study, we're going to come in talking about how the gospel was and is proclaimed. How the gospel was and is proclaimed. Good stuff. Good stuff. And you be sure to be here. Let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? All right, the first one is Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And if you're taking notes, all of those scriptures were under the first part of our study, which was the gospel, how the gospel was defined. Now, these are what we went over as far as things of which the gospel is the source of. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. Acts chapter 15, verse 7 through 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 17. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, and the last one for our study today was Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. Chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. Well, praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We have a wonderful, faithful Lord. We have a wonderful, faithful Bible. We have copy of our God's living word that we can trust and we can read and we can study and we can grow. And that's what we're doing. Thank you for minding your Lord and minding his word and coming together around his word and studying. The Lord bless you for that. And I admire you and I admire your discipline. And brothers and sisters, be assured that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you are laboring. You're laboring in the Word to study the truth. You go back over those scriptures. Those are neat. Go back over them and nail them down. Get them in your mind. Get that stuff in your mind. The gospel is a source of peace. The gospel is a source of afflictions. It's a source of life. How do I know I have life? Because the gospel is a source of it. A source of faith. A source of salvation. A source of hope. Go over that stuff. That's God's Word. That's God's Word. And we've read nothing but God's Word. We've not said, I think, or blah-bitty-blah. We've said, thus saith the Lord. And we've read his Word, and that's what honors the Lord. We honor the Lord when we honor his Word. And he'll honor you in return for that. Amen. All right, well, that's the end of our study today, and we're going to close out right now. And like I said before, when we come back together, we are going to talk about how the gospel was and is proclaimed and move forward from there. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. The Lord bless you, and I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.